stretch drive that will go on in Breeders' Cup legend.
Yeah, what a day. What a performance by Tisnow, the only two-time winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and that was win number two. You heard Tom Durkin with the call. That was at Belmont Park in 2001. He won it the previous year in 2000, but the one in 2001, emotional for a lot of reasons. It had come just 6 weeks after the September 11th attacks on our country, and it happened right there in New York. And there was talk that maybe the Breeders' Cup wouldn't be held that year. I remember a lot of the conversation surrounding sports in general was that maybe sports should take a respite and not be held for quite some time. But as we started to get back to some sense of normalcy, sports became an integral part of our culture, and that was certainly one of them. And that performance by Tisnow will live in our memories forever. And Tisnow ridden both times in the Breeders' Cup by Hall of Fame jockey Chris McCarron, who joins me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Chris, good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on, pal.
Yeah, appreciate the visit. You know, let's just heard the call of that race in 2001. It was much more than a horse race. Put me there with you. What were the days like leading into that race and then, of course, the race itself?
Yeah, there was a lot of tension in the air, obviously. One of the most vivid recollections I have is before the races began, they had all the jockeys get dressed up in their colors that they were going to be using for the day, the owner's colors. And we paraded from the jockey's room down through the tunnel at Belmont Park and across the track onto the turf course. And we were all carrying American flags, little American flags, and we all had hats on that either said FDNY or NYPD to salute the frontline heroes of the tragedy. And as we got across onto the turf course and turned around, looked up at the grandstand, and for the whole length of the Belmont grandstand, which we all know is enormous, about every 50 yards or so, there was a soldier with a rifle, snipers, if you will. And that was a very alarming view, and I'll never forget it. It's still vivid in my mind now. And we all knew the gravity of the situation, how serious everything was, but that vivid memory is will forever be etched in my mind. And it was quite alarming. So it was weird because it was alarming and feeling better about the situation too, because we know we were being protected. But it was quite the day. That's how my day started off. And fortunately, because of the great heart that Tisnow has, he finished the day off for us really well.
I think that's the right way to put it, Chris. And by the way, fantastic recollection there. But, you know, I think that's the right way to put it. The heart and determination that Tisnow showed in defeating the great European in Saki and getting up to win by a nose. And at one point in the stretch, it looked as if Tisnow was done, but somehow he gutted it out and found a way to get his nose in front. And Tom Durkin summed it up perfectly, winning it for America. There was so much national pride, not just with horse racing, but around the country. That when he's coming down the stretch and he's in that battle, do you remember exactly what was going through your mind and how intense that must have been?
Yeah, I remember what was going on through my mind. I told Jay Robbins, his trainer, in the paddock before the race that I wasn't going to hit him with the stick. I was just going to ride him and coax him along because he was training in what I refer to as an obstreperous fashion. He was leading up to the race, he was doing things the way he wanted to do them, and without regard to what the exercise boy Ruben was trying to get him to do. Tisnow has a very, very strong will and strong mind, and he would go out there and do whatever the heck he wanted to do. And most of the time, it was to walk down to the track slow fashion, take everything in, get on the track, look around for a while, and he wouldn't go and train until he was absolutely ready for it. And when I breezed him a mile a week before the Breeders' Cup, we were at Santa Anita, He had not shipped back to New York yet. And I was instructed by Jay Robbins to breeze him a mile. Well, he wouldn't go for about 40 minutes. He just stood on the track, didn't do anything wrong. He just wouldn't go forward. And he finally had enough sightseeing while he was out there and decided to go ahead and go. And when he did, he went. Boy, he breezed a mile and 36 and change going from the half-mile pole all the way back around to the half-mile pole. And horses just don't breeze that fast in that particular configuration. When they go from wire to wire doing a mile, yeah, they finish very well. But typically when they pass the finish line, they start gearing down. But Tisnow did not do that. He just kept on running. And so knowing that he's got this strong will, he doesn't want to be forced into doing anything, I was up there as a passenger just trying to coax him along. And at the 16th pole, Saki was a good neck in front of me, and I figured I've got nothing left to lose. So I reached back and I tapped him once with my left hand, and he responded favorably. He jumped forward and was able to get back in front and drop his head down right at the right time. That was that's an event I will never, ever forget.
I don't like when guests come on the show and use bigger words than me, Chris. Obstreperous? I love it.
Not bad for a jockey, huh?
Pretty good. Did you know that you had the race won at that point? Did you feel confident that your nose was in front?
I could feel him trying, and I couldn't really tell, but I did hear the call. I was able to hear Tom Durkin say Tisnow wins it for America, and so I began the celebration in earnest right away, just galloping out. I was giving him a big old pat on the neck and everything, and I wasn't 100% sure because I had my head buried and I was down driving, but I had a good feeling about it. And then when I heard I had a good feeling about it because of the response I was getting from you know, the effort that he was putting out. And but when I heard Tom say that, and he's about as good as they get when it comes to deciding who he could have made a very skilled placing judge if he wanted to, because he was very good at determining who the winner was.
Did you hear him say Tisnow wins it for America?
I did. I heard him say that. Yeah. And
wow.
Then my confidence with regard to the photo swelled, and so yeah, it's amazing how what you hear out there and what you don't hear when you're focused, and you know, sometimes you're easily distracted, and other times you're just geared down on the focus for the race, but that particular time I did hear him. It was pretty loud. And it was a great feeling.
People will forget that Tisnow was not the favorite in that race as the defending champion. It was actually Aptitude under Jerry Bailey, who went postward as the favorite in that 2001 Breeders' Cup. The year before, Tisnow wins it for the first time at Churchill Downs. He wasn't the favorite that year either. You wrote him, he was 9-1. And again, another gutsy effort. He battled with another top European in Giants Causeway, and he gets up to win by a neck. I guess you had to be thinking at that point, man, this horse is special.
Oh yeah, he showed me how special he was when he won the first Breeders' Cup Classic, because he didn't break his maiden until May of that year. He broke his maiden in May at Hollywood Park in a maiden special weight race, came back next time out and ran super in the I think it was the Affirmed Handicap, and then in the Swap Stakes as well, ran very well. Victor Espinoza rode him in those races. Actually, Alex Solis broke his maiden, but Victor rode him a couple of times, and Victor was committed to another horse. I forget the horse's name at this point, for the Pacific Classic, and Jay asked me to ride him, and I had breezed him a couple of times in the morning, so I was somewhat familiar with him. But he goes on after he breaks his maiden. He wins a stake, he's third in a stake, he's second in the Pacific Classic, and then he goes down to Louisiana and wins the Super Derby, comes back to Santa Anita, wins the Goodwood, and then journeyed back to Churchill Downs. And what a tremendous amount of fortitude the horse showed throughout that training and racing process. He was an iron horse, and I know that's what they call Giants Causeway, but If I ever rode an iron horse, it was Tis Now.
Yeah, Chris McCarron with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Hall of Famer looking back on Tis Now's two victories in the Breeders' Cup Classic, 2000 and 2001, respectively. The only horse ever to win the Breeders' Cup Classic twice. Chris, when you look up the leaders among jockeys in the Breeders' Cup Classic, your name and Jerry Bailey's name are at the top of the list. You each have won that race five different occasions. Your first in 1988, and then the last one coming in 2001 with Tis Now. But that first one with Ali Sheba in 88, I know you and I have talked about it multiple times. That was as special a victory as you've ever had.
Oh, yes, without question. Yeah, I'm very blessed, that's for sure, to have ridden five classic winners. Ali Sheba was a very, very special horse for me and for the racing public. When he won the classic, Tom had another great call that afternoon, and it was getting really dark too. Boy, it was very, very dark all the way around the track. But Ali Sheba was very special for sure. And I also had, if I may toot my horn a little bit, I also had 3 seconds in the race as well. And
how'd you get those horses beat?
Came close to winning that thing 8 times.
Yeah, how'd you get the other 3 beat, Chris? Come on.
Oh, that's a good question. I was second on Ali Sheba in 87. Ferdinand beat him. I was second on Twilight Agenda, I think, in 91 behind Black Tie Affair. And second in 85 on Gate Dancer behind the horse at Georgia, Proud Truth.
Proud Truth. John Veitch.
That's correct. And Georgie Velasquez for Darby Dan Farm.
Yeah. You know, we talk about this being the 20-year anniversary of Tis Now's first Breeders' Cup Classic win. This is the 25-year anniversary of Cigar's huge win at Belmont Park and Tom Dirk's call that people will remember forever. But the following year, and rode Alphabet Soup to knock off Cigar at Woodbine. What do you remember about that day?
Yeah, it was a cold, kind of a nasty day. The weather was inclement, and my family had traveled with me from Los Angeles to Toronto, and I had a lot of really good chances that day. I remember I was loaded for bear, and I thought, you know, when I was going over the form the morning of the race, I thought I got a chance to win 3 or 4 of these things this afternoon. It didn't pan out, and then I was getting a little frustrated as we got closer to the classic, and you know, got to where I said, "Well, I've only got one more chance here. Let's make this thing happen." And Ali Sheba, Alphabet Soup was a very, very nice horse, but he was like a bicycle. If you weren't pedaling, he wasn't going forward. So I started riding him pretty vigorously at the 5/8 pole after we turned down the backside just to maintain my position. And when Cigar ranged up on my outside, I was losing ground, but when I saw it was Cigar on my outside, I thought, well, I might be losing some ground, but he's losing more than I am. So we had a pretty good chance at the head of the stretch, and Alphabet Soup just put his head down. He beat the Preakness winner, Louis Couture, was second in the race, and Cigar, of course, was third. But a very, very exciting day, and it was a fun weekend, too. I took my family to Niagara Falls for the first time, and it's one thing that riding horses and racing has done for me. I got to see some wonderful parts of this country and the world because of the travels my career would take me on. But Alphabet Soup got the job done that afternoon.
Well, Chris, I can tell you, and I know I've told you this publicly before, but I'll say it again. As I was getting into racing and growing up, I had two favorite jockeys, Mike Smith and Chris McCarron. And you have always, and Mike too, have always been so generous with your time when I call you and ask you to come on the program. And this has been a fantastic trip down memory lane, looking back on those Breeders' Cup Classic victories, just part of what has made you such a great Hall of Fame rider, and really appreciate the visit. It's always so much fun, and never, never obstressorous to do an interview with you.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike. And I should bite my tongue before I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Steelers have a lot better chance this year than the Patriots do. So if we can't win
exactly.
It, I like that organization, and I hope they continue to do well for you. I know you're a huge supporter of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So go Steelers.
I love, wow. Save that on tape right there. Chris McCarron, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, appreciate the visit, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. Take care, everybody.